Lord Jesus, we believe wholeheartedly that your word, it's the word of life. We believe wholeheartedly that there is nothing else that we need. We believe wholeheartedly, God, that even though we've heard your word so many times before, that at any given time, you can pour your spirit upon our heart and your word can change us forever. God, I believe that. And I ask you to start with me, to change me tonight, today, God. Today, may something in your word, may I see it and hear it for the first time, and may my life be different when I leave here. A little bit more like you, a little bit closer to you, God. I pray for those persons that are here, those people that are here that don't know you. God, that you'd open hearts to know who you are and what your plan for their life is. God, I cannot thank you enough for changing my life. I once was lost, and now I'm found, and I'm so grateful for that, God. In Christ's name, amen. We have often talked about the five smooth stones. In case you're not aware of this, our church has set this kind of foundational thing that we do. If you are in Christ, if you believe that you have been saved, if you believe that you've been born again, but you do not experience the power of somebody who is born again. And what happens is you look and you see what people who are supposed to be born again look like and act like, and there's this weird thing. You come to church and you see people with a big old smile, and you go, oh, I guess that's what it is to be born again. You walk around with a smile. Or you come to church and you see somebody who pulls up in a new truck or a new car, and you think, oh, well, that's what it is to be born again. Listen. If there is some power, if there is some strength, if there is something you feel as though is missing from your walk with God, and you found yourself confused as to why other people get blessings and you don't, we have narrowed these things down to five biblical premises on why the believer in Christ is not growing as he should. And you could look it up if you want for later on in Hebrews 6. 1 Peter somewhere, 2 Peter somewhere, where it talks about how there is a growth, there is a young man, there is a baby, and there is a mature Christian. And the way you get to this is not by just jumping over some line. Well, yesterday I didn't believe in God, and now I believe in God. Yesterday everything sucked, and now today everything's great. And that's not how it works. That's not the way it goes down. That's not... It's not spiritually biblical, nor is it logical from even a humanistic perspective. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody goes in the gym, slaps, you know, four Cadillacs on each side and starts banging them out. You just can't do that. Nobody walks into the gym and steps on the mat and says, oh, I want to fight the black belt and beats him up. It doesn't happen like that. It doesn't. It's the same way. You come to church and you accept Christ as your Savior. Now what? We narrowed it down and we called them the five smooth stones. First stone is prayer. You spend time talking to God. You put time aside every day. Now it's not bad to pray in the shower, not bad to pray in the car, but the Bible says that you have your closet. You go to your place and you just say, okay, God, this time's yours. Now immediately the enemy says, oh man. He starts hitting you in the head saying, I don't have time, I'm really busy. Listen, it don't have to be a long time. You don't have to go spend, you know, an hour there. Give God 5 minutes of your time. Dear God, you know, even start with the Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day the daily bread allotted to me. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, by the time you finish with that, if you're saying it sincerely and not just repeating it, you've just prayed for some of us the first time. Second smooth stone is reading the Bible. This is spiritual food. The Lord Jesus himself said, my word is food indeed. If you want to grow in the Lord, there's this kind of a weird thing, and now this is a little ultra-spiritual. Let me make it a little weird for you. Reading the Bible over and over and over again. It's kind of stupid to the world when they see I have a book, and there's only one book, and my book has got, what, 1,800 pages? And yet I've been reading the same book for like 15, 18 years now. since I got serious with my walk with the Lord. Every single day I read the same book. It's like, well, doesn't it get boring? And that's the crazy thing is, I don't know if you've ever read normal books, like regular books. I don't know if you're a reader. I believe that readers are leaders. I used to read a lot of poetry. I liked 17th century French poetry. I know it sounds weird, but there are these guys named Rimbaud. Did you say Yeats? I said 17th century French poetry, and you say Yeats? Peasant. I'm teasing Johnny, of course. But you read these things, and after the first few times you read them, you're like, yeah, that's nice, I read that. Where's, you know, and then you got to go to the store and buy more. I got more poetry. And then you pick up a Yeats book, and then you're like, no, this don't do. And then you read more and more and more, and all of a sudden you have stacks and stacks of books. I'll never forget, Ken Graves came over to my house some years ago, and I first started getting into reading commentaries about the Bible, and I had like 3 shelves full of books. And he walked into my house, he's like, well, you got a lot of books. And I said, yeah, man, I really love studying the Word of God. He goes, you ever try reading it? And I was like, yeah, I read it, but this guy said this, he says, and he wasn't being mean, he was being sincere. It's like, I've learned after 22 years of walking with the Lord, now, you know, all I really need is the Bible. Matter of fact, if any of you guys want to buy some really good Christian books, I got stacks of them now that I hardly ever look at. My wife is asking me, what am I going to do with them? And you feel weird because, well, should I throw it out? Because it's a book about, yeah, just throw it out. 2, second smooth stone, reading the Word. 3, worship. Spending time worshiping God is one of the most spirit-building things you could possibly do. There was a time when it was 1998, I just decided I'm done with music. I come from a musician's background. I toured the country with a band for some years. And at one point I just said, you know what? This music is doing me no good. I got tired of waking up in the morning with a song in my head. As a matter of fact, there was a friend of mine named Anthony Beatles. He was a Christian brother who had the tattoo of a beetle right here. His last name was Beatles, and he got a beetle tattooed on the back of his head. Anybody remember Anthony Beatles? Remember Anthony? Did you know Anthony Beatles? Oh, no, no, not the band, the Beatles. No, no, totally different. Completely different. Anyway, one day he was playing some music. He was working with me, and one day he was playing some Christian music, which I didn't like at all. I thought it really was terrible music, personally. And he was playing some music. I remember about 2 days later, I woke up singing one of the songs. I was like, yeah, I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do. Because I got tired of waking up in the morning with like Running with the Devil stuck in my brain or Pink Floyd the Wall or some crazy song that I knew where it was pulling me. Now, am I trying to tell you guys you need to get rid of music? That's between you and God. I'm telling you what I need to do for me. I did. In 1998, I pulled up in the back of my warehouse and it had a big dumpster and I threw out all my crap music. Out one by one, and I loved music. And there was lots of money worth of CDs there. Back then we had these things called a CD, right? It was like this round disc, and you did. 4th smooth stone is fellowship. You see, when you fellowship, when you hang out with other Christians, you grow because you're giving of yourself and you're receiving to yourself. So, there's no excuse for not going to church except that you don't want to grow in the Lord. Because everybody always says, their excuse is, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Nope, absolutely don't. But it's going to be very difficult to grow in the Lord. To have a relationship with God's people is paramount because if God loves his people and we love God, then ipso facto, we must love his people, right? The Bible actually says, if you say you love God but hate people, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. I mean, that's John that says that harsh words, not me, because I'm not harsh. So, in order to grow in the Lord, in order to experience a greater depth, some of you guys that are here right now, I could even see it in your face, like, come on, come on, come on, we know this. But listen, if there's one person that doesn't know this, if there's one person that's here that wonders why they're born again and they're still so miserable, if there's one person here that just can't seem to get a handle on this thing, I'm going to ask you about these five smooth stones. Are you walking around with them? Are they in your pocket? Are they in your heart? Are they a part of your life? Are you spending time in prayer every day? Are you reading the Word of God every day? Are you spending time just worshiping God? Listen, what we do here in worship, I remember coming to church for the first time. Me and my wife used to go on Sunday nights. We were just dating at the time, and they'd play this music. And I thought the music was gay as all get out. I really did. It wasn't my type of music. But there was something about it that was soothing to my spirit. I didn't know what it was. It was very soothing. And then I realized I remember the first time I actually bought Christian music and I put it in my car, it was a guy named Terry Clark. And I realized, man, if you put a really good worship song and it's just you in the room with that worship CD and you look up at God and you start worshiping, what we do here, man, that ain't half of what you can do at home. Man, it's the most dynamic, life-changing experience. If you struggle with anger like I do, you need to worship, because worship is the only thing that soothes anger. You follow what I'm saying? So if there's something missing in your life, it's probably, now, you might ask, why do you call it five smooth stones? Does anybody remember why we call it five smooth stones? Because when David wanted to kill Goliath, when this little 14, 15-year-old boy wanted to kill this 9-foot giant, what did he pick up off the riverbank? Five smooth stones. And it seems as though we are powerless, we are worthless, we have nothing to defeat the enemy with. And I'm telling you, that's why we call these things the smooth stones, because you go through this world, you go out there, even now you might be filled with the Spirit, you might be feeling good, you go out in that world and it just starts to beat you down and you're like, man, what's real? Am I real who I am in here, or am I real who I am out there? And you confuse yourself. And let me explain how this works to you guys, in case you have not heard this rap either. Who you are when you're here is who you really are, not out there. Your friends that don't know the Lord, your family that don't know the Lord, they're going to tell you who you are is real. When you're mad and you cuss, oh yeah, well, same here, rah, rah, rah. That's the real, oh, there he is, there's my brother. That's the one I miss, not Mr. Church Boy, not Mrs. Church Girl, whatever it is they call you. That's a lie. Who you are is when you're here, when you're filled with the Spirit, when you're surrounded by brothers and sisters, and the peace of God which surpasses understanding is guarding your heart and mind. You follow what I'm saying? However, for today's Bible study, I'm going to focus on the one that I never focus on. And I think I'm doing you guys a discredit, because some of you have this specific gift. The fifth smooth stone, in case you didn't realize that I forgot one, was witnessing. Sharing your faith with others. There are many ways to do it, and some people are born evangelists. You know, Timothy, the Apostle Paul said, stir up the gift, do the work of an evangelist. Some of you guys are really bold about your faith, but some of you guys are not bold about your faith, and it's a gift that you need to stir up. Today, we're going to look on how the Lord Jesus explained one of the ways. Again, this is just one of the ways. This is not the recipe for, but this today is a lesson in sharing your faith with others. Are you understanding me? And it ain't what you think. Believe me, it might be a little different, and it might be life-changing to some of you. So let's read Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 1, the fifth smooth stone, witnessing. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place he himself was about to go. Please give me your attention. Let me give you some of the basic bare essentials. I get phone calls all the time. This guy said this, what should I say? This girl did this, what should I do? How do I go about witnessing this person? I don't know enough about the Bible. I can't argue with them about it. This person said this, and I didn't know what to answer, and I felt stupid. Listen, the first thing you have to know about witnessing, about sharing your faith, whether it's friends or family, is number one, unless God is doing the work, it don't matter what you do. You can argue them in the kingdom, but then somebody else is going to argue them out of the kingdom. You can't beat them and drag them into the kingdom, but you can pray them into the kingdom. Now, I want you to see the first spiritual application. Even though he sent out 70, the first thing is they went two by two. It's very important to have somebody united with you, especially when you're sharing your faith. Now, we're making an application here. We're making a spiritual application. So I'm not saying, hey, listen, I want you guys to go to the next town to do this. Although, do you remember, Craig, some years ago we did that? Me and Craig, years ago, we used to play softball together. It's got to be 15 years ago. And one day we were having a men's Bible study. And there was about 15 or 20 of us there. And I said, guys, you know what we're going to do? Instead of sitting here and talking, we're going to go out there witnessing. And everybody, some of the guys are like, oh, wait a second, what are you talking about? Yeah, we're going to go right up the block. There's a, what was it there? Was it a movie theater, right? Do you remember that time at all? And some guys just, man, like Craig, he just, boom, right in it. He was out there, hey, man, do you know about the Lord Jesus died for your sins? And some guys were so, now they're good Christian men. Guys that love the Lord, but the thought of, listen, you can't bring anybody who the Lord's not drawing. First things first, if they're not on God's list, they're not going to heaven. He is predestining some people, no matter what happens. And if he don't use you, he's going to use somebody else to bring them. Now, at first you're like, ooh, that's throwing like a monkey wrench. What does that mean? Does that mean I shouldn't share? No, you should share with everybody. The question is the answer to this. Don't be discouraged if they don't receive you. You don't know what God's doing in your life. You don't know if you're a drop in the bucket or the guy that hooks it. You don't know if you're just another voice that's going to be ringing in their ears in the day that they receive Christ, or you're actually the one who's leading them to the Lord. That's the point of that. The point of having predestination isn't to worry about, well, I guess that guy's just going to hell. No. The point is, listen what he says here. He sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Listen, God's saying to you guys, I'm about to do this amazing work out there. And I want you to go and share my love with people. Well, how do I know who you're going to save and who you're not going to save? You don't know. Only God knows. Yeah, but I mean, I used to have this thing. I love to pray with people. It kind of freaks them out. You ask the girl behind the counter at Walmart or at Home Depot, hey, can I pray for you? And they go, yeah, and then you just reach out. But when I talk to some people, if I'm talking to a guy and he starts cussing in a lot, oh, effing this or GD that or whatever, immediately it's like, I shrink up. Oh, that's not the guy that wants me to pray for him because he's cussing. And of course, I only want to pray for people that are Christians. And if he's cursing, he's probably not a Christian and blah, blah, blah. My brain used to do all of that stuff. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, I did about 3 years ago. I changed that around. I said, you know what? Every time somebody curses in front of me now, I'm going to pray for them. And it's like, it works like really badly because now I have this whole argument. I could be sitting there talking to somebody and in my brain, he just said the F word. You got to pray for him now. No, I'm not going to pray for him. I'm not going to pray. Like, yes, you are. No, you're not. Yes, I am. God, I'm sorry. I'm already apologizing. I'm going to pray for him after he leaves. No, you're going to pray for him. I have this whole thing and I'm not even talking and listening to the guy. I'm like, you pray for him? No, I'm not going to pray for him. Are you okay? No, I'm okay. Can I pray for you? Verse 2, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Guys, that's probably the saddest Bible verse there is. Some of you guys will get this. You ever wonder what happened to all the serious Christians? Man, I got some sisters that love the Lord, and they are just waiting for the right guy to be a good wife, to be a good mom. And where are all the serious brothers in the Lord? And I'm thinking, in ministry, man, the things that we could do if we can get another half a dozen, 10 families that are serious. We're serious. Forget about life, my business. Listen, let's change this neighborhood. You know what I mean? We can do it. Laborers are few, though. I mean, if I ask the Yanceys to do one more thing, why don't you just move into my house? You don't have to worry about mortgage anymore. You can do another two ministry thing. You know, you just when you have a family that's so serious about the things of the Lord, you could do so much good. Change people. Imagine if like 20 people who are serious about the things of the Lord each came up with like $500 or $600 a piece, and we bought a house back here. And any single sisters that were pregnant, we could put single sisters in it so they could have their baby. And then they could either give the baby up for adoption, or we could put them in school while they have the baby and let them live there. Oh man, isn't that a great idea? Can't do that. Why? Because we don't have 20 people that can afford to put $1,000 a piece and buy a house. Yeah, it was a good idea. It says the laborers, if the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Man, I'm not coming down on the church at large. It's the same problem that Elijah had. Elijah said to God, I don't get it. Am I the only one who's serious about the things of the Lord? I don't get it. What happened to all the servants? And God said, it's okay. I have some reserve. I have a reserve. You with me? Man, I'm looking for a teenager, a 14, a 15, a 16-year-old, serious about the Lord. You know what you can do in your school if you get crazy for Christ? If you get serious about things at 12, 13, 14, a serious Christian, man who is just, oh my goodness, are kids ready? I mean, you take a 14 or 15-year-old, a high school kid, and you make them serious just to carry their Bible around. Let me tell you something. Revival breaks out in high schools with a couple of serious Christians. Revival. Pray every day. You're going to, hey, you know what I'm going to do from now on? I'm going to meet at the flagpole. We're going to put our hands on prayer and pray for the school. And you want to see? Hell will break loose. Oh, the scandal. Teacher told the kid the other day, don't read your Bible before you come to school. It was this thing, Todd Starnes from Fox News did this whole story. Teacher told a kid, I don't want you reading your Bible before you come to class. And he was like, what? He goes, yeah, you're all happy and you're all, I want you to have an open mind when you come here. Don't read your Bible before you. Another teacher gave a kid a Bible, so they fired him. He got his job back, thank God, a couple of months later. But it's the craziest thing. If you're a teenager here, you get serious about the Lord. You want a plan for your life, young man? You want a cool plan? You want to be dangerous? You want to kick some for the Lord? He'll use you, man. Get serious about God. You start reading that word and you tell God, here I am, use me. Psh. Man. What happens is, kids go, I don't want to be like you, Dad. I don't want to be like you, man. I've seen what you're like. I've seen how people are. I don't want to be like you. Why not? Continuing. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. I love this verse because it's kind of my thing. I think if I'm stronger than somebody, if I'm more intimidating than them, I can reach them for Christ. Because they'll look at me and go, wow, if a strong dude like you can love the Lord, then I can love the Lord. And it's like, it works the opposite. I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. I don't want you to be strong. I want you to be weak. And I want you to talk to nobody on the way there. And I think the application for me is, you know, more people find out I'm a Christian and it like all clicks to them at the gym or in the reptile, in the industry that I'm in. It does make sense. Now I get it. Now, sometimes it makes me feel bad. It's like, man, you didn't know I was a Christian? Well, you don't really talk about, you know, church stuff. Or you don't talk about the Bible like some other Christians I know. Yeah, it's a terrible thing to talk about that. But I'm just not like that. Now, remember, this is not the blueprint for everybody. This is my blueprint, though. I don't talk to a lot of people along the way. Until I find that person that God wants me to talk to, then I pour my whole life into them. I'm not Mr. Bold. I'm not that Jesus guy with the big smile. You know what? That's not me. What I do, though, is I, along the way, find a person that will allow me to attach myself to their life, and I'll pour in them everything God's given me. I have freely been given, so I freely give. You understand? You guys understand what I'm saying here? And I think some people get either intimidated with their own trip or they feel bad about it to say, man, I don't like to tell people or I see that some people, one day I was at Home Depot and some kid was there and he couldn't have been 15 years old and it was like 90 degrees going back years ago and he had sweat all over his face and he's like, hey, do you know that Jesus died for your sins to everybody? And I was like, brother, you're really bold, man. I like that, man. Good job. He goes, well, do you know that Jesus died? Yeah, he did. What church do you go to? Go to church over here. Well, you should come and check out our church. It's like, one, wipe your face. Two, I just said I went to church. You're gonna push people away. But I'm glad you're out here as a young brother being bold. You know, I'm glad. But this is a different way here that the Lord said. And neither is wrong. You got it? Now look, I know it's a lot of instruction today, but if there's one or two people here that get it and go, man, I'm glad you said that because this is important. Not everybody has to wear, you know, a shirt that says, Jesus died for your sins, turn or burn. You know, not everybody has to be out there with, sometimes people find out, lady, you're Christian, and they go, I knew there was something about you. I knew it. And that's okay too, according to the Lord Jesus. But who is he to tell us what to do? Continuing. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For a laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as is set before you. Please, before verse 9. This is very interesting. Here he talks a little bit about a spiritual aspect of it, which is at first going to be weird. Remember I told you, some people are injected with a drop of the blood of Christ, and that's all it takes. Imagine a balloon. It's a clear balloon. Say it's about 3 foot wide, and somebody takes a plunger, a needle, and just puts a drop. Boop. They inject in it a little drop of red dye. Now the thing gets all pink. And that's the vast majority of the people that are walking around. The blood of Christ is in them. Their name is on the list. They are going to be saved. You don't know what state they're in. They could be messed up on drugs. She could be dancing in a bar. She could be a prostitute. You have no idea. The marriage could be completely fine. But these people are on the list. You can't see it. It's so diluted at this point in time. Does anyone understand what I'm saying yet? Okay. Bring your peace to that house. Say, somebody invites you in. You start to hang out with somebody. Now, let's apply this as to life. You start hanging out with somebody at the gym. You start hanging out with somebody at your workplace. And you can't see whether they're brothers or not, but there's a certain peace that rests upon them. There's a certain peace. When you talk about the Lord, when you talk about their life, there's a certain peace that rests upon you. They are receiving you. You understand what I'm saying or not, guys? Man, I know I'm losing some of you today, but it's so important this, because I feel as though I've done almost a disservice to this body, because I'm not really about that. Go out and bring people, go out and knock on doors. And I think because I'm taking my life and projecting it on you guys, which I never ever want to do, there is a very important part to sharing your faith. It is one of the stones that will strengthen you. It is one of the stones that protect you. It is one of the ways to grow in the Lord, is to share your faith, to invite somebody to church, to invite somebody to your Savior is an amazing way to grow. However, continuing, you're going to have to suffer through this study. I'm sorry. When somebody invites you out to lunch or to their house, my son tells a story. We have a friend He's a Buddhist. And he went there and they had all this Indian food. And he said he didn't know what it was. Some of it looked like goat eyes or something like that. He didn't know. So I said, what'd you do? He says, I just ate it. I was embarrassed. I didn't know what to say. You know, it's Justin Canero. He went over to get his house and he's got a picture of Buddha, and next to the picture of Buddha, he's got a cross. And my son says to him, are you a Christian? I thought you were Buddhist. He goes, well, just in case. That's my son telling me that story some years ago. And the reason he said this, guys, just so you know, is because back then it was a tradition of the Jews. You could not eat with others. It was what we call in Italian, infamania. You cannot do it. It makes you unclean. Here he's very specifically saying, listen, break bread with people. That's probably the best way. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus, he sat at the Last Supper and broke bread and drank. Right? He says, I stand at the door and knock. He who opens, I will come in and dine with, sup with. Right? Eating with people is probably, put it this way. People don't care how much you know until they first know how much you care. Right? Okay, continuing. Let's roll through this thing here. Verse 9, heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, and you know what, before we do that, so heal the sick. How many guys have ever prayed for somebody who is sick who does not know the Lord? Don't have to show your hands, but what an amazing way to be a witness to somebody. Oh, you're not feeling good? Can I pray for you? Because our brain says, don't pray for people who aren't Christians. Why would we pray for somebody who doesn't believe that God can heal them? And I think the Lord Jesus had it some different, didn't he? He says, if somebody doesn't know the Lord, what better way than to pray for a healing for them? Now, anybody have anybody at work who know is sick? Have a family member that's sick? Johnny, if there is a week that goes by that he doesn't bring me a prayer request from somebody from work who's got thrush in his mouth, flu on his foot, a cancer. I mean, you name it. They go, Johnny must be known in his work as the guy who will pray for anything, because he's always bringing me a stack of cards and pray for this guy because this happened, and pray for this guy or this happened, pray for this guy. Like, you know, Johnny, we have a prayer meeting for this. He's like, just pray for these things. These guys, I told them we'd pray for them. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? Be the guy you can go to for prayer? Right? Even the non-believers. You see, they live in darkness, we live in light, and if we get that in our head, I think it'll be a lot better. We seem to think that we're the darkness and they're the light. And when they shine the light, we go, oh. Their light of their cussing and fussing and their lifestyle, it shines a light on our darkness. Ah. But it works the other way around. You see, we're the light. We are the light of the world, the Bible says. And when they show us their darkness, we lift up our light and causes all their darkness to scatter. Does that make sense? Okay, continuing. Whatever city you enter, verse 10, and they do not receive you, go out in its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. That's a tough one, guys. Somebody you've been trying to witness to, somebody you've been trying to share your faith with, especially our family members. Because our family members are the ones that first say, don't come over my house and start praying. Don't come and do this. Don't come and do that. Oh, I ain't go over you. And when I go over your house, I don't hear you guys pray. Oh, it's... How many guys ever pray over the food and have your whole family make noises? Isn't that the craziest? Oh, here we go. You come to my house, I give you free turkey, and you complain that we pray? You know what? Why don't you go... Go to heaven, right? Go to heaven. How's that? So you know what I'm going to do? Won't talk about Lord with you no more. How's that sound? From now on, I'm not going to. Now, why is that important? Here's why it's important, guys. Do you know what the biggest inoculation against the gospel is? The gospel itself. Some of us have been so obnoxious, with our faith that it's time for us to be quiet about it. You know what you need to do? Pray for them quietly. You don't want to pray for us? It's no problem, bro. Or how about this? Hey, guys, we're about to pray now, so if you guys want to be a part of prayer, you sit over in that room. We're going to come over here and pray. I had a cousin of mine who came to visit us a couple weeks ago. He's from New York, a couple years older than me. And he said to me, you know, the last couple of times I've seen you, we've had such a good time. And I said, well, what do you mean the last couple of times? He goes, yeah, about 5 or 6 years ago, I came to see you, and all you did was shove the Bible down my throat. I was like, well, dude, you know, I don't want you to go to hell. You know, I mean, I want you to. And he goes, yeah, I know that, but I ain't ready for all that, man. I just wanted to hang out with my cousin. And I don't know, there was a two-part thing there going on in my brain. One, yeah, man, in case the guy dies, I want him to know. But two, am I being more a jerk for Jesus than a lover of God's people? You follow what I'm saying? Now, this is something you got to completely be spirit-led about, guys. But there is a time where you just wipe the dust off and you go, you know what? You're right. I've been obnoxious. Now, I will fast for that person. I will pray for that person. They won't even know how much I'm praying and fasting for that person. They'll never know. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to be a jerk about it no more. Because I was thinking about this yesterday. When I see people who are, it's like, I don't even know if I should say this to you guys. I can't think. Sometimes I'm back there worshiping and I see people that I don't know coming in and they're like, I could see that they're here. Nobody here today, I promise you. And I could see that they have like, they're only here because they were told to be here. They wouldn't be here. And I think I'm sitting back and I'm going, oh yeah? Well, watch what I say today then. And I'm going to yell at the top of my, hey, buddy! Oh, I don't like that pastor. It's weird. And then I'm thinking, well, am I being weird just to be weird? Am I being a jerk for Jesus even when I'm up here? You know what? Here's what the Bible says. You want it? Take it. Because if that dot of blood is in you, then God is the one that's going to put more and more and more. And he's going to make it darker. Not me. I can't do more. Jim Coy told me something years ago. I love this. This is one of my favorite. I'm going to tell you one of the best lessons I ever learned as a pastor. You ready, guys? Ready. Best lesson as a pastor. I had this dude coming to church. There's a girl, and she had a husband, and he was coming to church every service with her, but he just wasn't getting the message. And I had talked to him, and I said, Jim, I don't get it. The guy shows up every single week. He says to me, okay, so you want to figure out how to reach this guy. Yeah. He goes, now, is he there during the worship? I go, yes. Is he there during the preaching of the word? I go, yes. He goes, so you're looking to do something the Holy Spirit can't do. Oof. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to force the Holy Spirit onto somebody. And what a lesson it was. You know what? I don't have to be so evangelical. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach the word of God. And if you want it, receive it. He who receives it, let your peace fall upon them. He who doesn't, it's between you and God. Between you and God. I can't bear that burden with no more. The person that lets me attach myself to their life, man, I'm going to pour everything I got into them, and hopefully they'll do the same for somebody else. Continuing. He says to them, and this is so important to understand, guys, why? Because, verse 12, I say to you. Now, I want you to see something, guys. I circled a few things. In verse 5, I circled first say. In verse 9, and say to them. And then in verse 12, but I say to you. All these things, quite literally, he's saying, say this, then say that, then say this. This is not like, I'm not pulling this message. I realize it's long. I realize it's instructive. I realize it's not as entertaining as some. But he's saying, say this, then say that, and I say this. It's very interesting here. It's a very difficult Bible study, not just to preach, but to receive, to apply, because it's so directly instructive. There's no watering this down. Sometimes we water things down and apply them. Remember, we looked at that a couple weeks ago. You know what this is called? Obedience or not. Do it or don't. You can confess to God. It's okay. You follow what I'm saying? Verse 12, but I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. But he who hears you, hears me. He rejects you, rejects me. He rejects me, rejects him who sent me. Please, listen, this is an amazing application here, and it's so true. Guys, my mom's not here today, and I'm glad because as a testimony, I grew up an animal. I mean, I know for some of you guys, you don't understand that, but I know there's a few of you guys, my brother Kurt feels what I'm saying here. I grew up an animal. I was not a good human being. I was a really bad human being. I did whatever I had to do to make money and to hurt people. You would think that my family looking at me now would go, oh my goodness, there's gotta be a God. Him? He's a Christian? He's a pastor? There's a God, sign me up. Sign me up, there's a God. Gotta be. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? This is what he's telling these cities. He's saying, I sent you 70 men, two by two. They healed, they saved, they prayed, they changed the weather. Let me tell you something. If the works that were done in you were done in Tyre and Sidon, if they were done in Sodom, I went to Sodom, I said repent, they said no. Boom, I shot down hail and rain on them, fiery rain. Said, if I would have spent the time that these guys spent there, they would have all repented. And it was Oswald Chambers or Saunders, one of these Oswald old time. He said, I don't believe that anybody should hear the gospel twice before everybody's heard it once. He said, you know, sometimes you think to yourself, are these people crazy? Look at my life now. I go to church. You would think that, does anybody bear witness to what I'm saying here? Or am I alone in this? Just show of hands. Okay, there is. It's amazing. You'd think that everybody, and here's what the Lord is telling us to comfort yourself. Relax. I know. I'm with you. I understand. You hold the course that you're on. I'll do the work. I'm the one that's going to go after you. I'm the one that's going to change their hearts, not you. You don't do the work. Nobody can be drawn to Christ unless I drew them. Nobody is on the list unless I do it. I'm the one. You don't love me. I first love you. You follow me, guys? Let God do the work. You don't know. He says, one waters, another gathers. One spreads seed, another gives. But it's God who gives the increase. He's not telling us, this is interesting, he's not telling us what to do, he's telling us how to do it. Don't worry about it. I'm going to tell you what to do. I'll take care of the rest. He says, it's going to be more tolerable for the people who died in Sodom than it will be for these. And you should know that. And the reason that is so comforting to us, how many of you guys have been really persecuted because of your faith? How many of you guys have really lost friends, family, jobs, finance? How many of you guys are wondering sometimes? There's a great psalm where he says, and there's a song that goes with, you guys like that Enter the Worship Circle band? There's a song that they have called How Long. It's called How Long. How long until you say never again? My people are burned. My people are slaughtered. My people are put down. How long until you say never again? And some of us, and listen, when we're serious about this thing, we're not just talking about, no, hey, I'm not interested in your God. We're talking about people who hate you because of it. People who you will lose jobs, you will lose relationships. There's people that hate you, that will hurt you because of your faith, because you shared with them. I've had it happen many times. And God is comforting your heart by saying, listen, know this. If they don't turn to me, their life is going to be really bad. John Cinelli, my old pastor, used to always say to me, Ryan, you know how you know you're a real Christian? When you don't want your worst enemy to go to hell, because hell's that bad. And I don't mean your worst enemy like the guy that cut you off on the road. I mean the guy that molested you when you were a kid, the person that cheated on you. You know, let's get real. Let's not, oh, there's good and there's bad. My car was scratched, that's bad. No. The person that raped your daughter. The first person that introduced your son to alcohol, which led eventually to drugs and overdose. That person, when you realize how horrible hell is, God says, listen, that person is going to hell. Comfort your heart to know you did what you're supposed to do. Relax now. I've got it. You understand what I'm saying? Why he says that? Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works were done in you that were done, they would have repented long ago. Relax. You just witness. You just pray for people. You just ask God to heal. You just, and let me worry about the details. You understanding me, guys? Okay. Here's where we come to closer to a close. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Wow, guys. Wow. Somebody say, wow.
Wow.
Thank you. This demons are subject to you because the Spirit of the living God is in you. Let me remind you, who, or should I say, he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. You don't fear what others have when the Holy Spirit is within you. You don't fear him who could kill the body, but you fear him who could kill the body and cast the soul into hell. Who's that? Only the Lord Jesus, not the devil. They came back after being bold. And here's the wonder, right? So I say some of this to you guys. And now some of you guys, your interest is piqued just a little bit. You're like, that's what's missing. Right now I'm saying this and you're saying that's what is missing. What you're talking about today, Ryan, is what's missing from my life. I knew this calling was upon me. I have opportunity. I am going to do it. But there's this apprehension. A drug addict, a prostitute, whatever it is, a demoniac, truly a homeless person, demon possessed, whatever. You have this fear. And you go out and you do that. And you pray for that person. And you find out in faith, oh my goodness, even the demons are subject. Do you guys, anybody remember Stephen? Yeah. Remember Stephen outside? We had this homeless guy. Used to walk around. Matter of fact, this is a great story. You guys are going to love this. Every once in a while, we come to a church and all the lights would be off. And he'd leave a note on our
panel.
The panel. Thank you. Thank you, electrician. He'd leave a note on the panel, using too much electricity, I turned it off, Stephen. He was a homeless guy. He's the guy that walks around. He's always got gloves on. He's always got winter gloves on. And he pushes a cart. And he's crazy. Oh, he's talking about that. He's always yelling at somebody. You guys know him or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Austin befriended the guy. Austin says, Ryan, I have the most amazing conversations. What a good guy he is. Whenever we have problems, Austin, when you go talk to your friend Stephen, hey, Austin, how you doing? I had to turn the electricity off. You guys are using too much electricity again. Stephen, the ladies are meeting. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Tell the ladies I'm sorry. Okay. But he doesn't, he comes in church sometimes and we give him bread and water, but you know, whatever it is that's possessing him, that's inside of him, whatever is tormenting him, he either doesn't want to be free or maybe he's got some kind of real chemical mental thing. I don't know what it is, but I do know this. When spirit-filled believers talk to him, they see a little boy in him. That is wonderful. But when not spirit-filled believers talk to him, they're met with screaming and cursing and fighting and yelling. But if you go to the guy, you find out that even the spirits are subject to you. You know what I'm talking about? But you got to go out there. You're not going to find this out by, you don't find this out like this. Yep.
I'm just checking. Excuse me, do you know Jesus?
Brother, can I pray for you? Because you look terrible today, and I want to pray for you. Pray for me, F you! Come on. This just happened just last week. I got this guy who fixes I have this gate. And since he installed it, it's a solar-powered gate that opens and closes in front of my house. The guy's name is Javier. Right, Hispanic dude from Miami, northern part of Miami, I don't remember exactly anywhere. But I also have Xavier. Where's Xavier? Right? So both, I got two Javis in my phone. I didn't realize I was sending Bible verses to the wrong Javi. Because I sent Javier my morning Bible verse. I found out I was looking one day and he said, can I come over and pick up a check? And I was like, dude, I like you and all that, but I got my own wife, you know. And then I scrolled down. I was like, holy crap, I've been sending the wrong guy the Bible verse. So I'm like, I'm really sorry I sent you the Bible verse, where that was intended for another friend of mine named Javier. He's like, no problem. Can I pick up a check? Absolutely. So he shows up at my house yesterday with his 14-year-old son. I walk around the property. I show him the animals. And the Lord the whole time is like, pray for him and his son for Leo. I'm like, I ain't doing it. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry, God. I'll pray for them when they leave. It's just as good. What's the difference, God? If I pray for them when they're not there, since you're hearing, what's the difference if I lay my hands on prayer? What's the difference, God? All this going around in my brain, right? I can't even have a conversation with them because I'm too busy arguing with God. Pray for them. I'm not going to pray for them. The guy's not a Christian. Why would I pray for something? So I said to the guy, hey, before you guys leave, I'm going to pray for you. And I put my hands on both their shoulders, I pray for him, right? The guy leans over and said to me, guys, I swear this is a true story. He looked at me and goes, hey, can you send me those Bible verses? Or even his Cuban act. You mind, I want you to send me those verses, okay? Okay? You send me verses, okay? He said, bro, my honor. So I was like, this is so crazy. This dude don't know the Lord. Cussing and fussing, and but he wants Bible verses. I was bold, and I didn't even know it. Here's what I want you to do. Here's your test before we finish, because here's where we're finished. I want you to pick three people out of your phone starting tomorrow that don't know the Lord. Three people. And just say to them, is it okay if I send you a Bible verse this week? Just to see what happens. Just try it. Just, hey, man, is it okay if I send you a Bible verse in the morning? If they say no, wipe the dust. If they say yes, and then next week we'll talk about it. I'm going to say, hey, okay, what, you know. But I'm telling you, since I started doing that, I have a friend of mine, Cliff. You guys see, every once in a while he comes in, he looks like my brother, big guy, walks in, sits in the back with my family. Everyone, when I don't send Bibles, he gets mad. Hey, pastor, where's my Bible verse? I go, I don't know. Why don't you put your butt in a seat in church once in a while and hear some Bible verses? Why? I don't need one. You send it to me. Ha, ha, ha. Now, that's what's going on the outside, but I don't know what God's doing on the inside. Sent me a text the other day. Say, hey, ain't heard from you, man. Miss you. God bless. God bless. You don't know what color they are inside there, man. You don't know if it's pink and starting to get darker, dark. You just don't know. And when you start thinking about stuff like that, you've already defeated, man. That's already the enemy. All right, here's where we close. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. And that's so important, in your name. Verse 18, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power, all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Man, that's a tattoo verse. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He says, you know, when you see somebody, he says, and they think they have the gift of discernment of spirits, and there they are, and I will cast out Satan, and I was, do yourself a favor. Don't rejoice in all that nonsense. You know what that stuff means? Nothing. That and 50 cents gets you a cup of coffee. Not at Starbucks, though. That and $5.50 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. So you know what you rejoice in? Because I chose you. Because you didn't choose me, I chose you to bear fruit, to bear fruit that will remain. That's what you need to rejoice. But know this, Christian. Ready, Christian? Know this. He gives you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. By the way, serpents and scorpions there, that's not like snakes and scorpions. That's like the enemy. Serpents and scorpions meaning the enemy of that type of picture. That's an allegory. You don't need to go stepping on snakes and scorpions. They ain't done nothing to you. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, that's not true, because I knew a guy that he was in. See, this is why the Bible ain't real, because I know this guy who's in. He was in Yemen, and he was witnessing, and they killed him. I know a guy in Iran. He went to Iran as a missionary, and they killed him. So this verse must not be true. You know, well, it depends on what you consider to be hurt. You can't be hurt as far as. The Bible says you can't be snatched out of the hand of the Father. You can't lose your salvation. The enemy cannot kill your body and cast your soul into hell, as we said. Only God can do that, right? Amen. Well, what if I do get hurt? Well, you know what the Apostle Paul said? I rejoiced and sang a song, a hymn, for I counted myself unworthy to be hurt for the name of the Lord Jesus. They whipped him with sticks, and they cast him out of the city. And it says he went away rejoicing and singing that he was found worthy to be beaten like Jesus Christ. So if we interpret this wrongly and say nothing's going to hurt us, as in our physical body, well, then I guess it is inaccurate. But if we use the Bible to interpret the Bible, which is what we're supposed to do, we say, you know what? I really ain't got nothing to worry about. You know why? Because if I die, I only get better. To live is Christ, to die is gain. I got nothing to be afraid of, right or wrong. You got nothing to be afraid of, right or wrong. So let's go out there, and you can read that over and over again for homework, and share the love of Christ with people, and use that fifth smooth stone that maybe we've neglected, and let's fill up the kingdom of God with his people. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your encouragement to go out into the highways and byways and bring folks to the kingdom. Lord Jesus, we ask you please to give us that boldness that we have and replace our fears. We need your spirit to move upon us, God, because we just know we're going to be rejected, and we just know it's going to be embarrassing sometimes, God, and we know that we're going to lose friends. We're going to lose jobs. We're going to lose. Help us, God, not to be a jerk, but help us to be a loving, gentle person who brings your spirit in a way that people can actually receive or reject it as you want them to. God, please, you choose, God, and I pray over your people now, God, that you would choose the three people that they should pick to send Bible verses to, God. And I pray that salvations would occur, God. I pray for each and every person that's in here right now, especially ones that are looking at their phones right now. God, that I pray for every name in their phone would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray for my own phone in my office. God, that each person that is in my contact list, you'd save them, God. God, I pray the same prayer that D.L. Moody prayed. God, save the elect, and then elect some more. Help us to be bold, God. Baptize us in your spirit for this purpose. In Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great weekend.